Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing.
Good evening. It has just turned 7. I declare the meeting open. I welcome members of the public in the gallery. I hope it's as entertaining for you as it is for us. We begin traditionally by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of the land, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. And then we note that the General Council meeting will be recorded and the audio recording will be made available on the City of Marion website. I ask if any elected members have a declaration of interest to Mr. Councillor Hull.
There is a notice of motion in regards to a certain Ombudsman's report that relates to me.
Rightio. We'll note that when it comes up. Any others? There's a nomination of Councillor Hutchinson, I think, for a position, so that might be something where he'll leave the chamber. Anything else tonight? All right. We'll press on with confirmation of the minutes. So if members are happy, if someone would like to move that the minutes be accepted. It's moved. Councillor Pfeiffer, seconded. Councillor Kerry, all those in favour, all those against, that's carried. Unanimously. Then there are a number of reports to note. So, first of all, the mayoral report. I do hope the members of the public in the gallery have access to that. That's the most important report tonight, apart from the traffic in Norfolk Avenue. Then there's the Deputy Mayor's report and elected members' reports. So, because I'm still getting into the swing of things, to what extent do we note or comment on those, or basically? Well, this is an opportunity for all of the elected members to present a concise report on their activities since the last report, which in fact is since the election, isn't it? So perhaps we'll just go around the horseshoe, as we call it, to see if any elected members wish to report on some of their highlights. Councillor Pfeiffer?
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, not a lot other than, you know, what others have been to, other than to say thank you to you and the staff for a great night at Glendale Community Centre for our annual Australia Day Awards and Citizenship the other night. It was a fantastic event, very well managed, very well held, and I think there was a lot of people who went away feeling very Australian, so thank you.
Oh, I'd just like to thank the staff for their professionalism and their ability of helping us in our roles as new councillors. I'll leave it at that.
I've lodged a written report that will go in the minutes, but I would like to also highlight and thank Pia Vogren for her work towards the Australia Day event.
I think mine's fairly comprehensive in the written report. I've got nothing, thank you, Your Worship. Nothing to stand out.
Certainly nothing you don't know about, Mr. Mayor. It is a big agenda tonight, so I'll spare it.
Am I on? I don't have anything to report, but I don't want to repeat what everyone else has said, but I did really enjoy the Australia Day celebrations at Howard Cove, for sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I've handed in a written report about what I have done there, but I would like to just mention again the breakfast yesterday morning. I actually went to the debrief with the Lions Club yesterday afternoon. And it's interesting to note that they catered for over 600 people, but well over 1,000 people turned up. And they did run out of food. They had to race down to the Trop Park shops to buy more food. They did serve food from 9 till 10:30. That was how busy it was with all the people there. But it was a tremendous morning. Thank you.
Yeah, look, I just want to thank everyone involved with the Australia Day function. I think it's good that we're going to various venues, and I think it was really good to see a mix of different faces getting some of those awards and getting those nominations. So, I think that's really good, and it gives us some exposure to these people if we don't have it already. And I guess I'd like to thank the elected members here that nominated people, and maybe that's something we need to consider as we do our work in the community. If there's people we come across that we think deserve that nomination, it really means a lot to them, because a lot of them don't actually, they sort of hide their light under a bushel, and it's a good way to acknowledge them for that. Thank you.
In the nominations, there was something of a theme of disability, people who were educating the community or helping council with disability issues, and also history and heritage featured as well. So both things which are important to us as a community. Councillor Appleby. Councillor Garth.
Thank you, Your Worship. Firstly, I want to register my concern that you don't ever appear to be home, judging by your report, but mine is not quite as elongated as that one. I must say I've thoroughly enjoyed the new fellowship with our councillors and with staff that I've encountered since November. I've loved the citizenship ceremonies, and one of the highlights for me too, from a surprise point of view, is the Hallett Cove Lions Club, which is in my ward. A club that's, for those that aren't aware, has risen from 6 in membership to 30 to 58 in about 4 years. I would say that it'd have to be just about an Australian record for a service club. And they're a wonderfully vibrant club. Your Worship, you and I have been to a number of their functions and been very warmly received. And I think we could easily underrate the asset that they are for both Hallett Cove and Marino, because they actually do take in the Marino area in their scope. So, and we certainly saw them in great action for the Australia Day ceremonies. So that's an example of just how professional they are. Oh yes, we.
I think I'd just like to echo really what Councillor Gard has said, and without wanting to lord up the Lions and Rotary Club of Hallett Cove too much, we'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Accepted. Moved Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Gard. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. Now, on the agenda, Youth Advisory Committee update, but there being none this evening, we proceed directly to deputations. And I therefore invite Maureen Thomas and Graham Garfoot to come up to the head table here. We've said that they could each have 5 minutes, or let's say a total of 10 minutes for the deputation. So staff are kindly vacating their chairs for you to come forward, and we'll hear about the traffic issues in Norfolk Road and Township Avenue. It's a very important part of our, democracy and openness that here at local government level we can actually have people come and address us to inform us. It doesn't happen at state or federal parliament, or virtually never, but it is something we make time for here. Well, who would like to? We'll let you conduct it the way you want to. I've introduced you, so just try and speak into the microphone. It's all up.
We're here to get some traffic off of Norfolk Road and Township Road. We would like a yellow line from Marion Road to the RSL, because all the businesses on that side park on the footpath, and the people on the corner of Township and Norfolk Road park there, even halfway on the footpath and halfway on the road, with big steel pieces hanging out. And the other side, you'll find residence cars the same way, and cars directly in front of our driveway with Norfolk Village. That's where we come from. Very, very dangerous. I sat there one day and it was all blocked. No one could go in or out Township Road. A red car came curling around Norfolk Road to go into Township Road, and I thought, he's either going to hit me or he's going to hit the gutter, and both of us are going to go. That's how bad it was. Because I couldn't get over any further, because the guy on the corner had his trailer loaded with steel. And that's an everyday occurrence. There you go, Graham.
Thanks, Mrs.
Thank you. Oh, sorry. I have the habit of going out for a walk in the morning before breakfast. One day last week, walking from Finnis Street up Norfolk Road, there was a car, three vehicles, two with trailers, one a four-wheel and one a two-wheel, standing on the northern side of Norfolk Road. I was walking, I saw a car trying to exit from Norfolk Estate. There was a large van, obviously a delivery van, standing in Township Road, and when the car from the estate had passed along the towards Marion Road, I noticed also a car came out from Norfolk Road, from Township Road. Had I have been in a car, I don't know where I would have gone. I would have been on the wrong side of the road, and these cars and trucks were a complete inconvenience to any traffic proceeding along Norfolk Road. I would support what Mrs. Thomas has said, but with that explanation, I think there is a clear indication that these tradesmen should not, well, we should request that they not park there all day long. And one person that the council may be aware has a sign on his foot, on his lawn, to say he's a tradesman doing certain work. Whether that conforms with council's whether he's allowed to advertise is another point, but as I say, with these vehicles being parked there, and the elderly people particularly trying to exit from Norfolk Estate and trying to turn right, we take our cars in our hands, literally.
Finished in good time, and that's great, because it allows time for questions from the councillors. So I invite questions. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Mrs. Thomas and Mr. Garfield, thank you for your deputation and thank you for providing those real-world examples of what's been happening in the street. But just to clarify that the issue that we are talking about is parking on both sides of the street that is causing the congestion and causing visibility issues, and that is the actual reason why we're here. Just wanted to confirm that part of it with you, and it's also not only the parking that's the visibility issue, but those drivers that aren't driving to the conditions for that level of parking on both sides of the street. I think they're the two points that I wanted to clarify and confirm with you for the benefit of our members who probably aren't as familiar with the issue.
Comment? There is only parking on one side of the road, Councillor. On the southern side, on the by the entrance to Norfolk Estate, there is a yellow line already for a considerable distance. So there's only parking on the northern side of Norfolk Road.
Mrs. Thomas and Mr. Garfield, we're looking at perhaps surveying everybody so that we know the sentiments of all the people, including the tradesmen, right down the whole of Norfolk and the whole of Township. Do you see that as a reasonable, I mean, that's what we're looking at putting through tonight. Do you see that as a reasonable way to proceed, that we know how the whole community feels about this?
Well, I think I've done a petition and people from everywhere have had that trouble. They would like the yellow line right down on the northern side so that we can get through. I was there one day and an ambulance come through. That ambulance couldn't go anywhere because it was blocked up on Township Road, Norfolk Road, and he was stuck on the just on the up part of Norfolk Road, up Marion Road, and he could not get through.
Can you just tell me, if you mentioned cars parking on the pavement and cars not being able to get through, if cars are parked legally, is it still causing congestion on that stretch of road?
Definitely. And it's illegal, isn't it, to park on the footpath?
Yeah, that was what I was asking. So
yes.
Have you had any response regarding somebody ticketing those illegally parked cars in the past?
I've got a photo on my phone of one guy, and if you go into Charlesworth and walk out, you cannot walk on the footpath on the western side to cross over into Norfolk Road. You cannot do that.
Thomas, have you contacted council seeking some enforcement by inspectors?
No, the inspectors would have a field day if they went there.
Very well. Sorry, Councillor Valescu.
I'm just looking at the map here. So basically, I want to clarify, you're suggesting that we have no parking along the northern side of Township Norfolk Road from Marion Road to Township Road all the way?
To the RSL.
Okay, yep. And what about on Township Road? Any restrictions on Township?
We'd like the yellow line around both sides of the corner because they park right on the corner.
Okay, and roughly how far back onto Township Road would you say that you would... just an estimate's fine.
About 2 foot from the corner?
You mean how far down...
Yeah, not actually how wide, but how far down Township Road would you suggest, in your opinion, would be safe to have no parking on both sides of that corner?
There's no parking there on certain hours, I believe.
Oh, okay. All right. So your main request is really just for Norfolk Road?
And the corner.
And the corners, okay.
On the western corner.
The western corner, all right.
May I say that in answer to the council's question, Matt takes a bit of getting used to, but there's no stopping zone 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday along the western side of the county road. But we're talking about
the corner.
Near the corner, so with there used to be a pressure barrier there, didn't
there? Yeah, but there's something else there.
Something else there.
Some fabrication thing.
Right, but at least for that first block.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Any other questions before we have the room here? Very well. Thank you, Mrs. Thomas. Thank you, Mr. Garble. And you may turn to the gallery.
Thank you.
We will certainly be considering the petition as well, which we have before us. There are a couple of options with motions. I'm aware that Councillor Hutchinson has a motion that he has drafted for immediate action, and staff have suggested, and Councillor Telfer has aired as well, the view that a survey of residents along Township and Norfolk might be undertaken first. So I'm in the hands of council. We can deal with a motion now, can't we? The motion that we end up putting will also acknowledge the petition in a formal way, but can I have any member move a motion, and we'll start with that as to whether it's amended, as to whether it's defeated or carried. Councillor Hutchinson, you've got the call.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'd like to pick up that motion from later on in the agenda. As my residents have indicated, they have undertaken a significant amount of consultation on our behalf, and we're encouraging community leadership or community council, as we have called it in the past. And I think in this case, we've got a fair number of petitioners, even disregarding those that aren't in the area. Members, this is not the case of McInerney Avenue, Mitchell Park, where the previous council cut down all the trees for 14 signatures. This is significant. We've got significant numbers of residents in the area that are in the immediate locality using that street regularly. So I'll move the points separately, Your Worship, in case my motion fails. I'll speak to the motion while I'm at it. Okay. So in speaking to the motion, members, I think the residents have made clear that there's several points regarding the traffic parking, the fact that there's poor visibility, the fact that drivers aren't driving to the conditions. I have an email here from staff on the 19th of November 2014 acknowledging this problem has been in existence since 2011 and that their policing of the area has failed to rectify that situation. So this is a long-standing issue. It is not a new issue. It's not an issue that these residents in particular have raised in recent times. However, it's been ongoing with a number of residents in the area, and it's just the thanks to the initiative of Mrs. Thomas and Mr. Garfoot in bringing this petition to us and spending their time talking with residents about the issue. So on that, Your Worship, I'd like to move the motion, my motion, is that council introduced? Yep. And that'll be at council's discretion. We're not traffic engineers by any stretch. Traffic engineers can determine at what site it is appropriate for parking and what site it is not, but the intent is that it's parking only on one site at any given place along the road.
Just a question before we go on with debate, Councillor Hutchinson. Do you mean all the way along the road, both Township and Norfolk? Very well. Is that seconded? Seconded, Councillor Gard. Did you wish to speak to that, Councillor Gard?
Road engineers are there to help in a situation like this, and I think it's up to council to enable that to happen. so that it's done in a professional and objective way. I just also note the point about Norfolk Estate Village, and that's part of the motion that you're putting, Councillor, at the moment.
As we had in our original advice, it would be our usual practice to undertake survey of all users of the road, and that would help to inform the solution that our traffic engineers would work to. I have taken advice on this one, that what it would mean is part of... Well, that we could do it within our existing resources. It would just mean that some of our routine line marking is deferred, but we would still be looking at working to the timeframes that we proposed in the response that we had, simply due to staffing availability in the engineering department at the moment.
I'll move an amendment, and my amendment would be what is written there, but the essence of council staff undertake a survey of all residents along Township Road and Norfolk Road to ascertain their views on the install of a no-stopping zone on one side of each road. And as an amendment, I would also take up that the survey includes point 2 and 3 of the above, that those options are part of the survey. Right. In speaking to this, one of my concerns was the far end, because you're talking about the whole of Norfolk Road, which is a long road, and if you start
right... Point of order, Your Worship. Can I just say, I think that's a direct opposite of the motion. I don't think it can be amended.
All right. So, speaking to the first motion, it's not, Norfolk is a long road, and the way that that is listed there, I rang the traffic engineer today about the far end. That motion includes from the Club Marion right down to the end of the road. I'm assured that that is narrower, and it's got cars on both sides of that road at that point, and it is also quite an issue. So it is quite a complex issue to do that without knowing and being clear about the final end of the street, being clear about the impact at the top of Township Road, and being quite clear of our impact on the businesses, not the one that was expressed so much, the concern about the one with the long bars of metal. I understand that concern. But the small businesses at the top of Norfolk Road, that whole stable of businesses that use and have people coming and going from Elite Printing and all those other places. So I believe that those businesses have a right to respond. I believe that the people at the far end of Township Road that have places there have a right to respond. I believe that the residents that live right down on two sides of Township Road have a right to respond, because at the moment we have a considerable body of people, but we don't have the whole complex viewpoint of the area.
Thank you, Councillor Telfer. If the motion's not successful, I'll come back to you for an alternative motion. Councillor Valescu, Pfeiffer, Crossland and Byram. So, Councillor Valescu now.
Look, the biggest issue that came up during the election period was to do with traffic management. Basically, traffic, cars getting in the way, becoming a problem due to subdivision or increased activity, either to do with shops, transport hubs or parks, things like that. So really, and it is an issue as well for people, I guess as time goes on, as people get older, I sort of see that in my mum as time goes past, not as confident on the road. And we have an area where a lot of people are older and the things are trickier than they are for driving. And I think there is a real issue here. I also commend Councillor Hutchison for bringing this to us. I think it is an issue that we do need to consider, and I can understand Councillor Hutchinson's eagerness to get it resolved in as efficient way as possible. But I think it branches out quite far, and from what I've seen with these traffic issues is that there are other sides that you want to hear, and you want to have a solution that takes into account those other views. So I think we do need to consult. It's what we do, and it's not like we're consulting because one resident wants a yellow line at the front of their house, and it's not going to really affect anyone else. There is going to be some impact here, and it's about how we work through that, because I guess we don't want a situation where we fix one problem but create a whole lot of others, and then we tie up a lot of time with the council to try to fix those other problems. So I'll support this happening with some consultation. I think there is a real problem here. It's problems that are happening throughout our city, but it is important that we do ask everyone, and we're not discounting the surveying that the people have done already, but I think we do need to look at how we implement this in a way that I guess is most satisfactory to everyone in that area. So hopefully we can come up with a solution that does restrict the parking pretty much the level that's requested here, but is done so in a way that doesn't feel like other parties may not have been listened to. Thank you.
Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'll keep it fairly short and snappy. Look, I completely 100% agree with the intent of this. However, I also think we do need to do some formal consultation. Now, I tip my hat to the residents. 173 signatures isn't an admirable thing. You've done phenomenally well to do that. But I do think we need some formal consultation on the matter. As Ms. Montgomery mentioned, it is fairly cost neutral in that it might just delay a few other bits and pieces that we're doing, but it won't cost us anything extra. It is within existing budget. Now, my main thing is with this, and as has been mentioned very briefly, is that, look, there are small business users along here. Now, yes, they may arguably, allegedly be causing some of the issues, but at the same time, they are trying to make a crust. We're in a very, very precarious time economically at the moment. I don't want to be getting into the business of hobbling small business, so I want to make sure that we can do something that will enable them to continue operating and operating in a really viable manner.
Thank you. I've just got 2 points. The first one is, and I take the point that Councillor Telfer makes, and that is that if we look at the map on Appendix 2, which I think is page 99 on the agenda, it does look as if somebody has taken the time to show where the yellow line is going to be, whereas the motion makes it sound as if it's the entire road, not restricted to the areas on the map. And the second point I've made, which has probably already been highlighted a little bit by Councillor Pfeiffer, is there are other options other than just one solid yellow line all the way down the road. It actually might be an advantage for residents to maybe get some advice from our traffic management unit where strategically placed loading areas might actually be beneficial. That would have twofold. It would be there for the businesses, but secondly, if it's in small pockets along those roads, it acts as an actual traffic calming measure for people speeding. So you could actually look at a design where both user groups actually benefit from that type of scenario. And maybe it might be worth deferring the motion until we get a recommendation from our own traffic management unit to look at that type of an option as an alternative motion. I'll just put that out to Councillor Hutchinson as whether it could be an amendment or whether I'm misreading the actual diagram that I'm looking at on page 99.
The diagram that we have is the current street marking, and there are grey boxes and pinky red boxes because the grey boxes indicate where there are no parking signs and the pink boxes indicate where there are actual yellow lines at present. So we don't have a map with the proposed draft lines, just for clarification. I'll go back
Thank
to
you.
Councillor Velescu. You've already spoken, and now if it's a quick question, but we're going to have to start enforcing the rule of one contribution per member. Is it a question of clarification?
Worship, why don't we have something with the proposal actually visible? Because as I said, I'm not aware of it. I'm still unclear.
Well, we don't have that before us. That much is clear. I'll call Councillor Byam for her contribution.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I can have a lot of sympathy with this because I actually have worked at the aged care facility on Townsend Road and know the difficulties for people coming in and out of those areas, and particularly very early in the morning, for the businesses as well, for when they're trying to restock their businesses and trucks are in the street in the early hours of the morning. It is quite considerable that there's more than just the residents we have to take into account here, and if we are going to survey, and I believe we should, it has to be not just the residents but also the businesses and the community organisations in that street. And it has been an area that's had a lot of problems with parking over a long period of time. The RSL there, they already have a parking agreement with Charlesworth Nuts for their staff to be able to park in their parking bays so as they are off the road. So there is a lot of stuff that's been going on there. So we do need to survey. all of those areas, and I echo what's been said before.
Right, well, I'm getting a sense of where the debate is heading. Are there any other speakers in favour of the motion? If not, then I'd suggest we're probably ready to vote on that, bearing in mind that Councillor Telfer has foreshadowed another motion, I think, if this one fails. So I'll, once Councillor Hutchinson, you have the opportunity to close the debate.
Okay. It seems like our members don't have enough information this evening, but we'll push ahead with the closing of the debate, and we'll vote on it, and we can look at the foreshadowed motion. Members, the email I have here says that in 2011, Council embarked on a survey to ascertain if any residents had any issues other than those in the Norfolk estate. 142 were surveyed and 87 were for, nil were against. The rest didn't reply. So we've done surveys before, it seems. Council did, as a result, install a no stopping zone 30 metres either side of the entrance of Norfolk Estate, which you can see on the diagram. But I think what we're really talking about is that stretch along where we have commercial meeting residential. Members, in the spirit of getting things done in this council, I think the motion gives the administration enough free rein to make some common sense judgments, and that's the kind of judgments we want. If council come back to us and say, you know, honestly, up the other end of the street, we don't need it, that's fine, they can do that. That's their prerogative. What we're doing is giving them a mandate to act. Members, it's been talked about our commercial occupants along the road. Members, their planning applications all require off-street parking. Are they meeting those requirements? Have those businesses changed? They're the issues that we need to look at. I, for one, don't believe that we should just have an excuse, oh, well, we need business. That's not a good enough excuse. The real reason is the natures of those businesses probably have changed over time. They probably are too big for some of those small localities, and their off-street parking needs have increased. Members, I've already mentioned the survey. To clarify, the map that's been supplied by staff, that does outline the no stopping zones either side of the entrance existing. However, we are talking about the eastern end of the street. Members, we'll put it to you, and if not, we may be discussing a foreshadowed motion. Thank you.
survey of all residents along both Township Road and Norfolk Road to ascertain the views on the installation of a no stopping zone on one, the installation, well, some installation, because we're not going to come up with a solution of the no stopping zone, of an installation on one side of each road, and that it report back to council on the results of the survey. And originally the date suggested is April 2015, but we can consider asking Ms. Montgomery whether it would be possible by March.
No, just a minor point that Councillor Telfer may wish to include residents and businesses and community groups.
Yes, I'll take that in as well. So the suggestion was Council undertake a survey of all residents, businesses and community groups along Boz. No, that's yeah. And then there was the other section, taking into consideration the prior motion. So
The time frames that have been put there have taken into account the current workload of the traffic engineers. We actually have a couple of vacancies in there at the moment. If we did bring it forward, what it would mean is that we just need to defer some other works, and that work I would need to check, but maybe some of the planning for our capital works that we're aiming to deliver this year. So it's just a matter of scheduling people's workload while we're two people down.
Well, we can say before April 2015, and you just, yeah, I guess. Let's see where we go on that. I've put my viewpoint. I do understand the concern of the Norfolk Estate Village people. I also understand the concerns of other parties in the street. And I do want something to happen, but I want it to be a wise solution so that we don't have to change or amend or go again a little bit later.
Thank you. Is there a seconder? Councillor Byram was first with a hand up from before. So, were you seconding Councillor Byram? Yes, did you wish to speak to the motion?
I'm just not sure if the traffic engineers will provide their view on the matter on the basis of that motion. It just seems to be whether or not it's popular or not. So could we perhaps add a point that the traffic engineers provide a view as to what they think should occur?
So, I'm happy to definitely take in things that improve the motions, yes.
I'd just point out that I haven't had much trouble navigating that street, but I'm happy for the area to be surveyed. I think it is important, otherwise people are going to wake up one morning and there's a yellow line there and we'll get a number of angry calls. So I think it really is important that we survey everyone and take into account.
Am I able to offer an alternative motion at this point? I'm not sure whether that what I would propose would be a amendment. I would rather, I'm happy with the public survey that's been done by the residents, and I believe there obviously is a problem there. I would rather we got some considered professional options from our traffic engineers for council to consider. I think the stage we're at is there's obviously an issue there. If our traffic engineers can provide council with some options, so we've actually got a clear idea of where they would recommend yellow lines, loading bays, I would then... To just go and have a look and report back, or are we going to go for a full public consultation?
Well, I believe what that means is that residents, business and community groups on those two roads will be surveyed. We will get back the outcomes of the survey plus recommendations from the traffic management staff, which may or may not be the same thing. I believe that's the intent.
So could I offer an amendment where the options are just coming from traffic management staff and not having to do another complete survey of that street?
I think that would be contrary to the motion, because the motion mandates two things: the survey of a particular kind and then the recommendations and I suppose the timing of the report back. So that would be contra the motion.
I'll foreshadow another motion then, thank you.
If this fails, very well. Councillor Valescu.
I have a couple of questions and then I wish to speak,
yes.
Your Worship. My first question is, do we have a policy as far as consultation goes? Do we have
Mr.
to
Searle?
Consult?
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes, thank you. Through the Chair, yes, we do have a public consultation policy in place for the City of Marion. There are also public consultation requirements under the Local Government Act. I have actually reviewed, I haven't looked at the actual policy itself, but I have had a look at the Local Government Act, and there's no legislative requirement to actually consult on this matter from what I've able to read. I will certainly have a review of the policy now, but I believe the policy is simply a reflection of the requirements of the Local Government Act.
If we were to go without any further consultation, I wanted to know if that would leave us open for a dispute with the Ombudsman, especially as we've been given advice to consult.
Thank you, through the Chair. No, I do not believe that it would place Council in a position of risk in that regard.
Look, I think we do need to, if we're going to be surveying. And once again, I'm not discounting the information we've been provided in this community survey, but it has been done by, I guess it isn't independent of the issue. It's people that are, I guess, suffering from the problem that have gone out there and said, look, you know, this is a problem, we're identifying it. I think we do need to do that broad survey. I think if we have such a strong response from the residents there now, the result won't be much different. But we are being inclusive, and I think that's really important that we do that. Also, I'd like to change point two to, instead of before the end of April, before April, to by the end of April 2015. I just think that that's the time staff have told us is 4 weeks as opposed to over 4 years. It'll also take the pressure off. I'm still waiting for a yellow line in front of a place where there's one of my residents has muscular dystrophy, and the cab is waiting, the cab can't park there to pick her up to take her to work. there are a backlog of issues, and I guess for 4 weeks, I think it'll take some of the pressure off, both time-wise, but also I guess psychologically if that team is down. So,
mover, I'd be prepared to extend that.
Yeah, thank you. Once again, I do want to reiterate, I don't discount the work that's been done, the sentiment that's been expressed in the survey, and I understand the frustration that we want to get things done quickly. I hope that this is going to be a prompt process and we are able to have a solution that works. And something that comes to council that may perhaps need tweaking, because we did have an issue in my ward where we talked about having, a car here and a car here and use this traffic calming, but it actually ruins the line of sight in some cases, so that's something we may need to consider. But we will have a report which will identify what it's going to look like, and I think that's important as well, because if I'm going to vote on something, I actually want to see where the restrictions will be, and I think in future staff, if there is a suggestion, in future that can be put on there and outlined as a suggestion. Thank you.
Yes, with all due respect to those in favour of another survey, which would be our second, and there's also quite a weight of people citing the safety issue on both roads, I really feel that by far the overriding issue is safety. I think it's fraught with danger to go into another survey and perhaps be in the position where you have your engineers saying, look, there is a real issue here. We need to put yellow lines and restricted parking in these places, but unfortunately the residents are saying no. Now, obviously, if you ask a child if they'd like to have three ice creams instead of one, you know what the answer is going to be, even if it's not good for the child. And I don't want to sort of sound dictatorial, but I think we have these issues all over council. There's certainly an issue in my street with people parking at near a very dangerous corner, new residents, and I've put a note to them, and they don't adhere to my advice for convenience sake. Now, it's clear that it is a really dangerous situation. If the situation is dangerous, and it's found to be dangerous by engineers, then it's dangerous. And I think surveying people about, well, what do you think about reducing the danger, is putting us in a position where we're going to have to virtually ignore the survey if the issue is clearly that bad. And then you're faced with events that might occur afterwards, and you'll end up with the told-you-so syndrome. So I'm staunchly against any further surveys. I think let's be practical. Let's look at the fact that if lives are in danger, who cares about disadvantage to residents that might have shops that should have parking behind their shops? I'm really being reckless, I know, when I put it in those terms, but I'm just trying to get the perspective. Danger versus convenience. Public safety versus convenience. So I think it's a non-issue, quite frankly, and I'm 100% behind Councillor Hutchinson.
Just very briefly, I wonder whether the mover would accept a deletion of the residents part of the survey, because I think it is important that, even though I supported the motion, I think it's important that we do hear from the resident, from the businesses and the community groups, perhaps. There doesn't appear to be too many of them along the street. The residents seem to have already spoken. They clearly want something done. And the only side of the argument that we're missing is the businesses perhaps along there.
I'm not in a position to accept that, because the residents that have been surveyed are in the main from Resthaven and Norfolk Estate. There are a whole range of other residents that haven't been surveyed, including the people that live opposite 38 Norfolk Road, and including the people from the Club Marion and the RSL to the west, where the road is actually narrower. So just in terms of being broad in what we do and being fair and equitable, we need to keep the residents there.
That's true, but I mean Club M and the everyone else who's a committee member, so we're in the make sure everyone's on the same page. The council? Oh, well, where we had, I mean, Councillor Hutchinson can tell me the numbers if he wants. 142 surveyed, 87 positive and nil against. So even if we got 20 against in the next group of people, I mean, it's still 87-20, that probably floats. It's just an idea.
I move the motion.
Yes, please. Sorry to drag this on, but I think hopefully I've got a sense of where people are coming from. I'd like to move that our own council traffic management engineers provide options to council our next meeting with options of what they would recommend the yellow line to be, or yellow line and loading bays, so we can look at what it looks like and actually just vote on it. I don't think we need another survey. That's it. So we're looking at a combination probably of no parking and parking restrictions.
I think if we leave it generally, so order, if we leave it generally as parking restrictions, then whether it's yellow, white or red lines, that can all be the subject of the recommendation. So I'm asking Ms. Montgomery, is it realistic to bring back recommendations to the next General Council meeting in a month's time?
I'm just trying to just work through with Montgomery. We're trying to complete the agenda a bit over a week before the next council meeting, so the report would need to be completed by our traffic engineers. The date here, so it's about 2 weeks to complete the assessment and come up with proposals. And I think Ms. Montgomery's already flagged that there's workflow issues there. So it wouldn't give us a lot of time to rectify staffing issues or etc. So it's very tight.
Thank you.
You can give it a try.
Councillor Crossland,
you prefer to contribute? No, I'm happy to take advice on that, but realistically the end of March would be more suitable to council staff.
Briefly. Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, Councillor Gard, Councillor Crossland, and Councillor Gard for your earlier comments. I think this is the logical way to go, members. How much more consultation do you want, honestly? We have consultation after consultation. How much money and time do you want to spend on this? Every little issue that comes up, do you want to consult? We had the dog park consultation. I'm glad common sense prevailed that night. And I'm glad it. I'm hoping it's going to prevail tonight as well. Councillor Gard made the very points I was planning on making before other councillors decided to cut me off, Your Worship, because everyone wanted to have the opportunity to speak on that. And public safety is the number one issue here. We've got residents that have gone out in their own time and they feel passionately about this enough to go out there and collect 173 signatures. I would even say that's the biggest petition we've had in my time on City of Marion. So I'm glad that public safety has been brought up because that is the very poignant issue we're talking about. Thank you.
Thank you. Sometimes debates go like this. They go around circles and, you know, there's good intentions and there's... people tear themselves to pieces trying to work out what's the best way to go. Now, with this, I want to say that it's great to see a petition with addresses again, so you can actually look at it and say, yeah, those people live in that street. They're not from Hallett Cove or West Torrens. That was good. The other thing is that no matter what decision we make tonight, if we get it wrong, it's not the end of the world. Because we're talking about some paint and we're talking about a few signs. And if we get it wrong, we move the signs and we burn the paint off. So how about we give it a go? There has been reports done already. We have a reasonable feeling about what we're going to do is not going to seriously impact on a lot of people. But if we do get it wrong, unlike putting in chicanes, speed humps, expensive installations, we can just take the signs out and remove the paint. And maybe we'll have to do that. Maybe we won't. But let's give it a go. And maybe the engineers report, and it's great that we're not using consultants, Mr. Mayor. I see that as a bonus as well, that we're using our people to actually provide us with the information we need, because we're talking about some signs and some paint.
Yeah.
Look, I think it's good we're having this robust debate and it's not getting personal, so that's excellent. Look, this issue, as I said, has been growing. Traffic issues have been growing over the last 8 years that I've been on council. And based on, I guess, the errors and our successes in dealing with those traffic issues, I think it's particularly important that we let everyone involved know what we plan to do and give them that opportunity to respond. If we were to have a situation where one group did the surveying for us, we leave ourselves open for people to question the integrity of the survey, because one group, whilst I think I've totally justified, are the ones that can did the survey, and it does need to be, I guess, from someone impartial. And we don't want a situation where we do have to paint over yellow lines, because it's not just paint that we lose. We lose some of that credibility in the community that we're listening to them and doing things properly. And the thing is, you actually lose more goodwill by making the wrong decisions than by waiting a while and making the right ones. And I think that's why it's important that we do go out there and say, this is what we plan to do. What's your opinion on that? And then we make the decision accordingly. We may say, look, we thank you for your opinion. We don't agree. We're going to proceed this way. Or we may say, well, we didn't think of that when we asked for those yellow lines to be painted. Let's look at how we can deal with that situation. Once again, I want to reiterate that it is an issue. I see it's very important. The people affected are affected in a big way. As people age in place, the mobility, the ability to get out of there and walk around their suburbs, or to feel safe driving around their suburbs, has a big impact and can end up isolating people. And that's not what we want to do. We want to connect people as a community. But I think as part of being in that community, we need to listen to everyone and give them that fair opportunity to provide feedback when we have changes that can affect them.
I hear where Councillor Velisco is coming from, but I have to reiterate that safety and danger are both questions that really, to me, involve no correspondence being entered into. Councillor Velisco mentioned the word impartial. I don't think the people that we would be surveying could be said to be impartial. However, I think the people that have put the petition are more likely to be, because they're speaking not only on their own behalves, but the behalves of any road user on those two roads. So I really feel that impartiality is probably the key to this, and to survey people that really have their own interests at hand and would put those interests before safety, to me, is counterproductive, and it leads us into a situation, as I said before, that we could end up having to do it anyway, irrespective of the fact that the survey came out again. So in so saying, I would like to move that the motion be put. Oh, it's not, that's
right.
you, Your Worship. Members, this was brought to me by a resident with young children, very concerned about the impact that a piece of play equipment caused in the City of Port Adelaide Enfield. It was made significant media coverage late last year, where a piece of play equipment on a 10 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. on a 24 degree day caused significant damage to a one-year-old little girl who happened to sit on the merry-go-round rather than stand on it. The intent of my motion really is, again, in the public safety interest, that we have an audit, whether it's external consultant, which is not my preference, but Marion staff having at least a brief assessment of our play equipment to make sure that at appropriate times it is not superheated there, particularly in any space where someone may be able to sit or lean on it or use it in a, I guess, for a purpose that it wasn't intended for, such as sitting on a merry-go-round rather than standing on it, I guess. That's the intent of my my motion. I think it's important. We're coming into summer. Within a few weeks, we'll be at our peak of the season. And I so commend the motion.
The equipment is checked on a short cycle, so it won't, I wouldn't think, be a great deal of extra cost as far as council is concerned. Not that cost should come into it holus bolus when we're talking about the well-being of children, but I just make the point in any case that we're aware that the staff do their rounds on a very regular cycle. I think it's once a week, if I'm not wrong, of playground equipment. And obviously all they need to do is add this one to their list for appraisal.
I don't support the motion. I think that really it's the responsibility of parents to make sure that equipment's not hot. If it's a hot day, it probably shouldn't be at the playground. And I really don't understand how someone could even measure the temperature anyway. It's going to be determined on different days will be very different, so I can't see how we could even do an audit really effectively.
Is it possible to do this by material? I mean, I'm guessing that the piece of equipment in question was a metal merry-go-round. Most of the modern playgrounds are polypropylene or polyethylene, so those plastics don't have the heat capacity to burn as much as something like a steel merry-go-round. So I guess if we had a look at what equipment we have, the sun with metallic surfaces, maybe something which we could change this to if it doesn't get up in the past.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just to expand on that a little bit further, I note within the comments from Mr. Patterson, second paragraph from Mr. Patterson, each playground is also inspected quarterly for operational checks to ensure equipment is in good working order. I wonder whether we can, this is a question to staff, whether we can do a check for, and I think the problem at Port Adelaide Enfield was a steel checker plate surface, so I wonder if we can do a check as part of those quarterly operational checks for surfaces of that nature that kids could potentially sit on, and just do it as part of that quarterly operational check rather than paying an extra $6,500 to actually get it to do a formal audit.
We could certainly incorporate that into those quarterly inspections. We did actually seek some advice on this one from a peak play body. Their suggestion was that there's no substitute for good supervision on play areas, because the observation was also made that soft fall areas or asphalt or any other number of surfaces in a council area may actually cause burns as well. But certainly as far as the quarterly inspection, we could look for steel plates of that nature.
Yeah, I think it is kind of implied because they're the only... Oh, okay, yeah, we can change that to fit in with that, because I certainly wouldn't want consultants employed to do that. Yep. And I think that we at least are taking a risk management approach with that angle. I certainly appreciate the merits of that, although it may not be as timely as what we had hoped. You know, that there are those risks out there, as mentioned.
Mr. Mayor, between Councillor Pfeiffer and myself, I think that we could contribute greatly to this as to what is hot play equipment and what's not. We could probably bust the city up into two halves and have the best consultants you can find actually doing a full assessment on this play equipment, and we could actually donate the money to charity. So my daughters would only be too glad to help, Mr. Mayor. That's what I'm getting at.
Proceed then to mitigation strategies regardless of budgetary concerns. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, if there's any budgetary constraints, that would need to come back to council in the first place, would it not?
Well,
it says implemented within 4 weeks after inspection, and so if there was a budgetary consideration that needed to be taken into account, we should come back to council with that information.
But I mean, if that motion authorises the implementation, then budget expenditure is authorised, I would have thought.
I
well, sorry, I'm not asking Councillor Hutchinson to comment. I'm really responding to Ms. Jarrett. The Director of Finance, etc., Mr. Mifsud.
Through the Chair, just further to what Ms. Jarrett has just stated, yes, you're right, but the issue would be that you wouldn't know what the magnitude of that financial implication would be, which means Council would be making a decision blindly in regards to the financial ramifications.
That's what the motion states, yes.
Again, you're not interpreting what I'm saying. I'm saying if there are strategies you can implement, do them. If it costs money, you've got to bring it back anyway. Just because it says implemented, I haven't given you any authorisation to spend beyond our budget. So if we've got a bit of material, let's say...
Councillor Hutchinson, if I may suggest, if it says there and implemented within the current budget and within 4 weeks after the inspection. I thought that's what you meant. Councillor Hull, yes? Ms. Blitz, yes? Councillor Hull, you have spoken in the debate, so just keep it a concise question. Second question out of order. It's a bit hard to make sense of it, but I'd invite Ms. Montgomery to comment on whether and perhaps why not such an audit hasn't already been done in light of the Port Adelaide incident.
Thank you. All of our play equipment that is installed or has been installed recently is to an Australian standard. We do, as part of those quarterly programs, look at risk assessments of the equipment that's in place. We haven't actually done a full audit of our play equipment since the December incident. But what we have done is gone back through all of our incident reports that have come in through our risk unit to establish whether this is an issue that we need to be immediately concerned with. And what that told us is that we haven't had any incidents reported to us over the last number of years relating to heated surfaces.
Right. Other speakers in the debate? Councillor Velescu, then Crossland.
Look, I think essentially what's been asked here is let's have a look at if there's a problem, and if there's a problem, what are we going to do about it? I think that's essentially what the councillor wants. So all the talk about implementation and budgets and stuff like that, I don't think it's relevant at the moment. I just think we want to see, okay, is that going to be a problem for our council? And if it is, then we move forward as to a possible solution. You know, it could be that we put a sign up for some of this equipment, say equipment gets hot. You know, beware, equipment may be hot. That's all it is, because it is, you know, the responsibility sometimes of parents, and if kids are going there alone, you'd think they would be of a reading age, you know, even though that is there may be situations where, you know, that may not be appropriate. But, I think we're just looking at another risk, and I think that it's getting a bit more complicated than it needs to be.
Councillor Coughlin.
Yeah, I think we need to look at this with a bit of common sense. Look, the answer has already been given. Council risk assesses our equipment every quarter. They're professional, and I think that's really the answer we're looking for. If we're going to go down the track of not believing that risk assessment and need signage, then we're going to need signage on all our pavements saying this pavement gets hot in the sun and don't wear it, you know, don't go along it in bare feet. And we've got a lot of pavement.
Any other speakers? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. All those against? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Councillor Velescu, you voting or not? Then? Yes, 7. So the motion is defeated. Division called. Councillor Pfeiffer's in the room, but after I called the division. You'll hear, Councillor, the motion was defeated, but we've called a division. Point of order by Councillor Pryor. We're voting on the motion as printed on the screen. If you're in favour, please stand in your place. In favour, Councillors Pfeiffer, Kerry, Telfer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Hull, Bilescu, Guard and Crossland. All those against, please stand. Westwood, Byram and Appleby. Thank you, you may sit down. The motion is carried. Turned out to be a good call, that one. We move on to the next item of business. Ideas for planning reform. Councillor Bilescu.
As provided in the advice, I'm happy to move this forward to the foreshadowed section. So we can move past this one.
It's with... You're calling for the division to be called again. I'm afraid...
I really changed my mind. I thought it's... I'm essentially didn't want to bother to go through another debate for the second part. That's why
Well, sorry, I apologise for any confusion, but I thought I was quite clearly putting Councillor Hutchinson's motion as printed on the screen. And Councillor Bilescu might have said something about foreshadowing a motion. I was asking whether he was voting for or against because his hand was held about waist height. And as it turned out, he was voting in the negative when we were voting on the show of hands. But I apologise, but once the division's called and recorded, we're set. So I suppose all I can ask is, all I can do is invite people to ask questions very promptly if they have a point of order or clarification. Now, is Councillor Bilescu, is that motion withdrawn? Is that the...
It was foreshadowed to be part two of the ideas for planning reform that we're noting later on.